Hey everybody, yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, you're an inspiration. You're my hero. You're an example. In a word, you're my everything. How are you? How's it going today?
I'm good, Jason. Jason, it's as always, it's great to be with you, the award-winning co-host of the Paid Search Podcast. It's a delight to interact with our fans. Jason, I'm going to say something very controversial here. Please don't cut it, but I'm going to say that we have the smartest fans of any PPC podcast out there. I know that's controversial. Do you think that they're incredibly smart? Don't we get some great questions?
Oh, yeah. We do get great questions. I want more of those great questions. PaidSearchPodcast.com. And then the contact page, send us your questions. We don't take them lightly. We really do some work preparing for it, trying to select the best questions for our audience, trying to answer the questions, and really trying to provide help for people that write in. So if you've got a tough situation, send us your tough questions because we like answering them, and we do these Q&As once every couple months or so. So Chris, I'm happy to be doing it again today.
Yeah, it's great to get into the pulse of what Google Ads managers out there are doing. Some people are fellow freelancers like us. Some people are agencies. Some people are just doing it on their own, just going out there and just roughing it and trying to figure it out. And as you guys will see in the comments in these questions, you know, this podcast, if you're new to this podcast, this is a podcast that will provide you with a ton of practical information. That's what we're here for, is to provide a ton of practical info, stuff that you can just listen while you walk the dog, while you're working out, while you're driving. And as I've heard with some listeners, as they fall asleep. Jason, I'm gonna pretend that your voice is the part that's the sleepiest for them. So let's jump in, and I'm gonna tell you guys about Opteo. And because I want you to try this tool, I'm going to tell you one of the coolest things that Opteo does that I really like: reports. Did you know that you can create custom Google Ads reports that impress clients and colleagues and your boss? You can create reports, and they let you create custom Google Ads reports with your brand and your colors. You can save time by doing this because, hey, there's a lot of tools out there that do reporting. There's a lot of tools that can help you optimize. There's a lot of tools that can give you alerts and, you know, help you, you know, manage your account. But Opteo is the tool that does all of that. And I talk a lot about all the abilities and little shortcuts and ways for you to save time with Opteo. But this is another way for you to create beautiful reports that showcase what you want your client, your boss, or just what you want to see. They can be very practical, and you know, it's really nice to see something different than the default that you get in the Google Ads reporting system, or just the default Google Ads dashboard. So try it out. Use the link in the description, opteo.com/PSP2, to get an 8-week free trial. You want that 8-week free trial? Use the chat box in the bottom right. Let them know you heard about it here on the Paid Search Podcast.
Okay, Chris, let's jump in here. First question is from Robert from New Jersey. Hey guys, big fan of the show. I was wondering if you could do an episode on the staffing and recruiting industry. It seems to be a whole different beast, as there are more targeting restrictions and high CPCs. The employment job candidate world is a fascinating one right now, with job seekers desiring remote and a lot of employers wanting people back in the office. So Chris, we can briefly talk about the staffing recruiting industry, and then I think we can open it up into just a discussion of tough industries, high CPCs, and then these restrictions that are sometimes put on. But as far as the job industry goes, very hot market right now. Yeah. There's the great resignation, or whatever you call it, and there's a lot of companies that need workers. And I'm getting requests from some of my clients that are in the moving business and other businesses. Hey, we need to set up a hiring campaign and try to get in front of job seekers to get more people helping us. So I've been getting that request. And so In general, Chris, staffing and recruiting, what's been your experience with that industry?
I think what makes this industry so unique, and Robert is correct, it is unique, and this is why. Two things that make it unique. Number one is the intensity by which that people search, right? If I'm shopping for tires, Jason, I'm not going to jump and leap on every person that tells me they sell tires, right? Because there's a lot of opportunity out there, and I'm going to pick the one that I want. That's the best price. But when it comes to hiring, people are likely to submit multiple resumes, multiple opportunities, call lots of people to find the company that they want to work with. So conversion rates and click-through rates can be very high. And then the second thing that makes it very unique is there's a lot of it. So not only are people reacting to the ads and to the landing pages very strongly, but there's a lot of them. And that is almost entirely unique across all the different industries that are out there. Staffing and recruiting is something that, if you're selling something, you're not going to get that kind of response unless you're giving things away, unless you're giving away free clothes, people are not going to, because they have to give something, and so it's very unique, particularly because of the volume and the response. So, and what makes it difficult is the competitors, which is crazy to think, but there's the staffing and recruiting industry is a for-profit kind of thing. There's a lot of agencies out there that need to get good candidates. They advertise that they have the best candidates, that they have the most qualified candidates. And if they don't get those, then the companies are going to go somewhere else to find their employees. So it's in their interest to be up at the top. So because of that, you have high volume, high response, and lots of competitors. So it makes it complicated to do that. So the answer, I'm not sure if there's a direct, easy answer to that, but it makes for a very unique opportunity to try a lot of experiments, a lot of tests that you might not try otherwise, some high funnel, low funnel, some geographic tests, that would be unique because of the way that people are searching, and when someone's doing searches for something and doing it multiple times, you know what happens. They start with jobs near me. Then they say jobs with animals near me, and then they'll say dog health jobs or ways to work with dogs jobs, and then they'll say dog washing and dog walking jobs. They slowly walk themselves down. So the volume means that you have more and more opportunities to hit that person across the whole spectrum of their search funnel. So because they're not going to just sit there and do one search and then stop. They're going to do a whole lot of searches.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest takeaway with this industry is I have seen it as very high volume, and usually you're going to be limited by budget and the market's going to be a lot bigger than the budget you have. So my approach to it would be, I would definitely try the whole general kind of campaign thing where people are searching for a staffing agency or people are searching for jobs, those kind of just general high-level searches. But I'd also drill down on whatever you offer. So if you're trying to get people into warehouse jobs, I would have keywords like warehouse jobs and people looking for specifically the kinds of jobs that your staffing agency offers. And then beyond that, the right advertising on people searching for the right jobs, you want to get the right people. So there's probably some issues with like changing the demographics or income or stuff like that when it has to do with jobs. Google has probably put restrictions in place like they've done with housing, I would think, where like you can't turn off different ages or whatever or demographics. So you might not be able to do it that way, but you could try to do it with times of day or locations. And just try to get the best traffic possible if there's all that volume that you can have a choice of what you get. But my biggest takeaway is to try advertising on keywords that are actually people searching for the kinds of jobs that your agency places. Chris, beyond that, have you been dealing with any restricted industries lately, like real estate or anything like that, where maybe you've turned on a campaign and not got the volume you think you would get, or stuff was disapproved? Have you been dealing with more of that lately? Because I have.
I wouldn't say more. I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, there's definitely plenty out there, but I wouldn't say that there's more. It's not necessarily surprising anymore. I mean, if someone's new to what the restrictions and policy covers, I think the easiest way to describe it is anything having to do with like legal, medical, employment,
housing.
If it touches those at all, anything that, you know, that insurance, that can be it as well. Any of those that touches that, then you're going to be limited in the choices that you can make. You can still advertise, but you can't use all the tools. Some of the tools are going to be available, but if you touch them and tweak them, boom, you're going to have a restriction on your account, and you're going to suddenly stop serving ads, you know, for that segment of the account that you violated. So that's all I've really seen. What about you?
Maybe it's not more that I'm dealing with, but maybe it's just top of mind, because I built a very nice real estate campaign the other day, mm-hmm. and I had demographics on with age demographics, and I had some ages turned off because those ages just don't have the kind of properties that this real estate had to deal with. And the account got hit with some kind of like disapproval because I had done something with ages that on a real estate campaign. And it was quite the frustrating situation. And now as it's gone on and it's been low volume, I have this thing in the back of my mind. It's always like, well, did it screw up from the jump? And it was this policy restriction, even though I fixed it, is it still lowering my volume? So like you're saying, anything with housing, real estate, jobs, employment, anything they basically make laws around, maybe take it easy with the demographic bid adjustments or any kind of advanced stuff before you start your campaign. Start mm-hmm. your campaign, get some momentum, and then maybe see if what you're allowed to do later on, because it's very frustrating when that happens. But yeah, anytime you deal with a kind of restricted industry or something like that, you got to study up on the rules, make sure you know what you're doing, and not jeopardize the performance of your campaign. So Chris, why don't you take this next one from Nicole?
Yeah, Nicole from Halifax, Nova Scotia. It's a long way from here. That's all I know. Hey, Chris and Jason, which specifically states that it is in alphabetical order, not any particular order. But we all know that is the preferred order. I'm a new listener, less than a week. Your content is both valuable and helpful as I embark on this journey in PPC ads. If you two didn't have the comedic chemistry and banter between you, you would have lost me almost right away. And I have to thank my partner, Jason, for that. If it was just up to me, this would be the most dry, straightforward, informational podcast ever. Jason keeps it loose and has insisted that we don't have to do business all the time. We can have a few laughs. I have no sense of humor when it comes to PPC. So thank you, Jason, for keeping it loose. But her question is basically, she has a scenario where the client is not able to track conversions. And this is very common. So specifically, it's a situation where the ads are going to one page, and then they're presented with the information on one page, then they have to click and they go to another, and there's absolutely no chance of getting any kind of conversion tracking, to get any kind of return on ad spend metrics. You can't, you know, you really can't know anything. You know, first of all, there's the disadvantage of having a person to click twice in order to get to your end result. And then second, you don't know how many are taking any action after they reach that end result. So the main question is, Jason, and me, she's asking, would you accept clients who have this set up? How do you even judge success? How do you know what to optimize for? Which is a great question, because you're working in the dark on something like this. Jason, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so you take people to the client's website, and then when it gets down to business in terms of booking a consultation or filling out a lead form or buying something that happens on a third-party website that people are taken to from the client's website, and you lose the ability to track. I guess my gut feeling here, my initial thoughts are, on paper, it sounds incredibly frustrating, and I don't really have a good answer. And here's a good answer. You're not going to track it.
Yeah.
If you can't track it, you're not going to track it. So it sounds very frustrating. But then in practice, I've actually run into this quite a bit with booking softwares where I work for service companies. We take people to their websites. When people want to schedule a consultation or a meeting or whatever, it goes to a third-party website and we lose the ability to track. It actually happens a lot. And it's really not that big of a problem.
Yeah.
In my experience, because while the campaign will never be as good as an account where you could get all the tracking data and conversion data, it'll never be that good, but it can still be better than anything else they can do with their marketing dollars. And that just comes down to the stuff we always talk about, search terms and cost per click and all that kind of stuff. And you're not able to see the conversions. You're not able to see the cost per conversion. So you almost kind of have to like make it up and fill that piece of the puzzle in with your mind and go, okay, 80% of our traffic is going to this keyword therapist in Philadelphia, but my therapist specializes in marriage and all that kind of stuff. And 20% of our traffic's coming from that. And as a Google Ads manager with experience, I can go, well, I don't have the conversion data, but I would bet therapist near me or therapist in Philadelphia converts at a lot lower rate than marriage counselors in Philadelphia or anything having to do with marriage and therapy. And so let me see the search impression share numbers and let me try to see if I can get more of the volume going to the marriage specific keywords. And then I look at those keywords and I'm like, well, this phrase match keyword is actually bringing in bad traffic. I need to add these exact negatives, or I need to instead add more exact positive keywords and pause this phrase match keyword. So you just make decisions like that and you just have to make assumptions. It'll never be as good as when you get all the data, but it doesn't have to be a showstopper if you know what you're doing with search terms and cost, and if you have experience to kind of manage when you can't see all the pieces of the puzzle. How does that line up with your experience with this, Chris?
Yeah, I totally agree that, first of all, it is not a lost cause. It's definitely clients that I, like you said, work with on a common basis. I mean, there's even more common of just clients that send traffic to Amazon. And, you know, you may not be able to track ROAS there. You may not be able to tell anything except the fact that they're clicking and what kind of traffic it is. So, I mean, you may not even have that initial landing page to even tell what they're doing on the landing page. So I think that there's still some value. And just like Jason said, you can look at the quality of the traffic coming in. And then second, you know, you can even track bounce rate, time on site, you know, if there's any secondary conversions. You could do that. Also, you could track how many times people are just clicking on the button. Maybe you can't track what they do once they go to that third site, but you can at least know that they went there. You know, that's a little bit of information. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of value that you can derive. And Nicole, I'll tell you, I mean, it's not uncommon at all for Google Ads campaigns, and I've seen a lot of them, that get no conversion data, that run completely in the dark, have no conversion data at all, and have run for many years and consider Google Ads to be the basis of, you know, the entire baseline of their advertising. They don't do anything else. That's how they get their leads, you know, and they run completely in the dark. And we use quality of traffic and other indicators outside of conversions to determine value. So it's entirely something that can be optimized, and you can judge success on many other secondary factors.
Okay, Chris, let's jump to a question from Selena from Stuttgart, Germany. Hi, guys. I love your podcast. I've just heard your episode 275 with the most common questions from your clients. Regarding question, why don't I see my ad? There's a free tool, the anonymous ad preview tool inside the Google Ads account, which your clients could use to prevent searching their own ads and thus affecting their results. Do you think that's useful? So, Chris, what are your thoughts on the ad preview tool? Mm-hmm. And then maybe once we get past that, we can talk about how we handle clients searching for their own ads. But ad preview tool, what are your thoughts these days?
Yeah, ad preview tool is for me usually my last resort to a client that's pushing me and saying, I don't see my ad, you know, and I'm asking, okay, show me the search, you know, what do you search? Send me a screenshot of what you're searching, you know, and I can't see where they're located. I can't see if they're coming through a VPN. I can't see if they have cookies turned off. You know, could be all kinds of weird reasons about why they may not see the ad. So it's usually a kind of last resort to say, okay, look, I can see the ad. The ad is showing up here, but in actuality, I don't use it very often, you know, and it's not something that I consider to be a regular tool in my tool belt that I grab very often, because in reality, we're working with a digital product here. And when you work with a digital product, you have to trust the numbers that you see. And if I see 10,000 impressions and it says I have an 85% search impression share, and I see a 50% first position ranking, and I see this many clicks and this click-through rate, I mean, I know there's a trust factor involved, but we're just going to have to go with that. I mean, and if the client has to see it to know that it's real, then there's a different factor happening there. You know, maybe that's because they're overall distrusting about Google, or they don't see the results in their books. You know, they don't see the results in their phone calls. You know, so there's probably something else happening there, because in reality, the numbers in your dashboard, the numbers in the Google Ads dashboard, shows you what's really happening. You shouldn't have to prove every time that your ad is showing for this keyword in order for the client to be happy. That's an unhealthy relationship, I would say.
I think you're right. It was your tool of last resort, and for me, the resort has been closed.
Yeah,
I no longer go there. I don't find it helpful. I just find it it leads to more problems. And the reason why is because you put in your word, and the reasons why you don't see your ad that it gives you don't seem to be accurate. Sometimes they're confusing, and oftentimes they don't actually tell you what's going on. So there's that issue where it just leads to more problems. And then the other issue is whether you look at something in the preview tool or someone does a search for their own ad in the live results, it's such a personalized product these days with their algorithms and their artificial intelligence and all of that, that I don't believe. It's not that I don't believe. I don't care about any individual result, whether it's a human doing a search or the preview tool. It doesn't matter to me, because it means nothing, because everything is so personalized and there's so many factors that it doesn't matter what you see on one given search, whether it's in that tool or live. What matters are the results in the account. And some people will go, well, what if there's no results in the account and we don't have any impressions? And I look in the preview tool and it'll help guide me on what the problem is. That has not been my experience. I'm not in a spot anymore where I use it and I have no impressions and I put a word in there and it says, oh, you're bidding too low. Or, oh, you got disapproved for this reason. I don't find it to be giving that information. I wish it did, but I don't find that. So
yeah,
I don't use it at all. And the question is, I guess, if you want to go a little deeper, Chris, I've evolved on the question of getting clients to not look at their own ads in the search results, because it drives up impressions, lowers their click-through rate, could lower their quality score. I've seen that when people do that, they're never going to stop. And if that's what they like to do, they can do it. And I just have faith in Google's system being so personalized that if Google sees one user over and over doing this same kind of search and not clicking on an ad or anybody's ads, then maybe they've figured out a way to factor that out of the data and not penalize you as much for it. So that factor combined with the human factor of no one really changes that behavior.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, we have questions from Jake and Tom after the break, so stick around, we'll be right back. Hey, is really difficult to create a modern stylistic type of report nowadays, and to create that in such a way that it's interesting to the client. So remind you to go check out Opteo. As I mentioned, it is a reporting system. It is an optimization system. It's a time-saving tool that can get more done faster in Google Ads. This is not the kind of push a button and it automatically fixes it for you. This is a tool designed to help you think, help you use the knowledge that you have, that you've garnered here on the show, and then you put it to use with this tool that reminds you, hey, did you check this ad? You know what to do, but we're going to show you the ad and kind of remind you, hey, did you check this keyword? We're not telling you what to do with it. You know, we're not going to force you to do something. We're just going to say, here's the data. You make the decision. Great informational tool. Big time saver. Opteo.com/PSP2.
Okay, Chris. I'll jump in here with this question, then you can get our last one here. So this one comes from Jake from Birmingham in the United Kingdom. Hi, guys. I want to start off by saying thanks for all the gems you drop in every podcast. I've only recently started listening, and I'm already a huge fan. I was wondering if stopping my ads will have a negative impact on a campaign and or the account level due to a buildup of negative history on the days the ads aren't running. Ideally, we would like to run our ads every day, but sometimes we aren't able to due to budget and cash flow problems as we are a new company. Many thanks, Jake.
Okay. I have to dissect this a little bit, because Jake is right, but then immediately makes a conclusion based on the wrong data. So first, I do not think that there is a negative impact on a campaign just because you pause it. I do not think that Google is out there punishing accounts just because they stop spending money. That's what it might look like, but I do not think that is the case. What I think is instead the case is akin to driving your car, and the car's warm, it's been running for a while, and then stopping it and starting it again and driving, after the engine's cooled off. I think there is a type of momentum that can continue with the campaign if you do not stop them and pause them. But you wouldn't say that the car is punishing you because you stopped riding in it. It just isn't as efficient because it's not continuing. You're starting and stopping and starting and stopping. I think that is more of the situation. So I don't want to imply that when you stop a campaign, there's a negative impact. I just think it's a momentum or a historical standing type of situation.
Well, it's like if you lift weights, if you don't lift weights, your muscles don't shrink. They just don't grow. But if you lift weights, your muscles grow. So it's like Google gives some positive. I think Google gives some positive stuff or whatever, or magic to someone that runs continually. They build up that magic. And then if you pause, you're not being dinged or being hurt, but you're not getting the benefit of that good stuff.
Excellent. Yeah, well said. And the second part, he said it real quick, Jake, you said it real quick, but you said that we would like to run our ads every day, but sometimes we aren't able to due to budget and cash flow problems. Okay, this is a budget consumption issue. This is someone overstepping what their budget is and not appropriately distributing it across a month. If you have $3,000 to spend, if you have $300 to spend, you know what your daily budget should be. And you can just set your daily budget. I think a campaign that maintains consistency of $10 a day is going to be better than an account that runs $100 in one day and then turns on the next week and runs another $100 in one day. You know, that is, I think, is a very inconsistent way of running a campaign. I think if you are not able to run because you are out of budget, then you've allocated the budget wrong. You've done your math wrong. Take whatever you're going to spend and divide it by 30 and set that as your daily budget and leave it alone. You know, then manage your bids, manage other things. If you don't want to run on the weekend, set your ad schedule so it doesn't run on the weekend. I mean, it's going to be a better situation when you let the whole system run, especially if you're using automated bids. You know, if you're doing a lot of automation, you know, then you're going to do better when there's consistency and Google can rely on the fact that, okay, I'm going to be able to run tomorrow. And I, you know, if I spend $10 today, I know I'll be able to spend $10 tomorrow. And if it does not have that consistency, spend goes up and down and up and down. It's not consistent. And I don't think the system works as well. Jason?
Chris, I will no longer work for anyone that won't give me a monthly budget.
Yeah. Yep.
Google system is set up on monthly budgets. They can change your daily budget spend, or they can spend more than your daily budget by a certain percent any single day they want. But over the course of 30 days, they rein it back in if they overdo it for a few days and spend your daily budget on a monthly pace by the time you get to the end of the month. And that's the way the system's set up. And if you have budget and cash flow for one day, then you have budget for a month. Whatever your budget is, just divide it by however long your time period is, and your time period should be a month. And then if your cash flow goes down the next month, lower your monthly budget. But everything in their system, including the big thing we're talking about here, building up that momentum, building up that quality score, that consistency, there's something magical about that with their system. You can get that benefit if you just stick to a monthly budget. And if you don't have enough to stick to a monthly budget, you actually do. It's just that you have to shrink your monthly budget or the amount of days you run on your schedule. But I don't like the idea of turning campaigns on and off throughout the month at all.
Okay. Boy, someday, Jason, we're going to disagree, but when two brilliant minds come together, you know, I guess it's not going to be often that we disagree. We'll see. Maybe on this last one. Tom from sunny London. There's not a sunny London.
I think he's doing some dry British humor there.
British humor, yeah. I like it. I like dry humor.
Because I did Google sunny London to see if it was a town or city, and then I felt like an idiot. Yeah. So you got me, Tom.
Got him. So from beautiful, sunny, bright and shiny London, United Kingdom, he says, I get so much value from your podcast, always sharing with my team. Well, thank you. And hello, team. Question, e-commerce site only tracking sales as conversions. Never got to the bottom of why you see 500% conversion rate on a one click for one keyword. So 500% conversion rate. So essentially 5 conversions for one click. Don't see how someone could convert more than once from one click. Is this a bug in Google Ads? He says that he's seen it multiple times with different tracking setups, accounts, and all over the years. Jason, enlighten Tom's world with some beautiful sunlight from your mind.
I think we've got a humble brag here.
Oh.
Why am I getting these 500% conversion rates? Is that normal? Do other people get that?
Guys, I have so many conversions. Does everyone have this problem? Yeah, cool down, Tom.
So I think it's an e-commerce thing. It's got to do with what you're calling a conversion, but it definitely could make sense because if you're tracking something like purchases, someone could click on one ad and then purchase something that day and then come back to the site just directly over the next few weeks, but they have that cookie from Google Ads and they make more purchases and they show up as conversions related to that first click where they first came to your website. What I would do is I would hit segment and then segment out your conversions by conversion action so you can see what those conversions where you're getting a higher than 100% conversion rate are called. And then go over to your conversions page and look at what those conversions are and then how they're set up versus like one versus many. Because if you were tracking a purchase and it was that situation where someone clicked on an ad once, they made a purchase that day, and then they came back to the website over the next week multiple times directly, but still had that Google Ads cookie tracking that maybe was set for 30 days or something, and that Google Ads keyword was getting credit for all of those continuing conversions over those 5 days or over those 30 days. And each one counted as a conversion if you have it set to many instead of just tracking one conversion from each action or whatever. But that's basically where I'd be going. But does it sound basically like an e-commerce thing to you, Chris, and not necessarily a problem?
Oh yeah, it's this is definitely not a Google Ads issue. This is a conversion tracking issue, and I found that rarely is it true. I mean, very rarely will people convert twice from one click for e-commerce. I would say 99% of the time, it's a bug in the way that you've tracked things, or it's a bug in, not a bug, but it's a setting in your conversion tracking, or it's the way that your code is firing or something like that. So my way of checking is I go to the search terms and I sort by conversion rate. So anything over 100% is immediately going to tell you if there is a conversion tracking issue. So if you go to search terms and you see 150%, 200%, 300%, 500%, there's a conversion tracking issue. Certainly if it has happened multiple times. If there's just one, then okay. But if you see multiple, then that is definitely a conversion tracking issue. And Jason, you are right. Conversion count setting is going to be what you want to go fix. You want to change it from every to one. And the other thing that could be the issue is the conversion tracking code and how it's been placed. If it's not an automated tracking system, like Shopify will have automatic tracking that goes through analytics and then comes into Google Ads, that's automated. But if you've added that code yourself, it might be firing multiple times. So the person gets a confirmation page and then they're auto-forwarded to a shipping page or a tracking page or something like that, and that code fires again and again, and then they come back to that page to see what was that shipping ID number, then they load it again. I mean, there could be, you know, if it says bookmark this page and come back to see when your product's shipped, that's going to fire over and over every time they load that. So, you know, you have to make sure that where your code is only shown once on one single thank you page, and that's all.
Yeah, the only thing I'm thinking is, like, what if you did track purchases or something and people did come to the site over the next 30 days through other means, and you could type, and like, you want people who buy more times throughout the next 30 days than people who just buy once, maybe. So I think it just comes down to what you're trying to track, but those will be, it can definitely be a choice thing with your settings, like one versus many, but it also could be a troubleshooting issue, like you actually put the code in wrong, like you're saying, Chris. So yeah, just kind of depends, but that's kind of our way we would approach it there. So Chris, we're at the end of our show here. For our listeners, please continue to send your questions, paidsearchpodcast.com on the contact page. And if you want to get a hold of me, rothmanppc.com. And Chris, why don't you tell us about what you've got going on?
Yeah, if you guys want to get in on my newly launched Patreon, I am doing weekly training videos where you get to see me, and I show my screen and I go through demonstrations. Have a great community there. Plus, we do monthly hangouts where you just get to chat, ask questions, share advice. It's been a great, that's been a lot of fun with people around the world. So join me there, chrisschaefer.com, to find the link.
Okay.
That's it. We'll just, play us out.